Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, so you can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
I'm Hannah Rosner, also mostly write for television.
And I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features.
And today, we're going to be asking ourselves, which script... Which, in other words, basically means, what project are you going to tackle next?
And not, you know, like, if you have a job lined up, well, then you're doing that one, you know? But, like, we all have these times where, like, we're like, okay, I have time to write my next spec, whether it's a pilot or a, you know, or a feature spec. If you're a writer, you probably have lots of ideas. Probably at least some of them are good. So, like, how do you choose what's the next right script for you to write?
Wait, my ideas are supposed to be good.
They are supposed to be.
I should probably quit this business.
Yeah. I mean, it's also worth noting. I mean, Erica, as you pointed out, when you have a bit of time, you ask yourself what script you're going to work on. It is important when you have time to work on a script, not just for your own sanity, obviously, because writing is often the only thing that, at least for me, it's the only thing I can control. So if I can pour myself into a script, that helps me mentally. But it's also good to have something in your portfolio, and you never know when you can use the script and how it's going to help you in the future.
Writing a new script is a big time commitment. It can be anywhere from, you know, I hear about people who write scripts in a weekend, and honestly, a little bit fuck those people. But
yeah, but also, aren't they on like cocaine most of them?
Yeah, they might be on cocaine. Maybe we've been doing this all wrong.
You guys.
Speak for yourselves, ladies. There's the people that write scripts in a weekend, you know, maybe, yes, they're on some sort of amphetamines or something, but I don't know about you guys, but the scripts that I'm the most excited to write, I write really quickly. Like, I wrote a short story recently and I just flew through it because I was so excited about it. And then there was this other project I was working on that I was like, why is this such a slog? If you're excited about it and it's lighting your fire, and as you said, Jess, if it's also sort of like a form of therapy, it's like I pour all that into a script and then it sort of just flows out of you because you're like, this is an opportunity to explore all these different things that I'm thinking about through fictional characters. And then it makes it seem not as scary and real.
It's such a great way to grapple with whatever you're dealing with at the moment, you know, to make sense of it.
If you have that idea that like sets you on fire, that you feel like I have to write this right now, or I'm going to lose my mind, then your choice is pretty easy, right? Write that script. And I don't care if it's, you know, like not marketable or anything like that. Like, when you have a script idea in your heart like that, just do it. So this is more about like, we have a lot of good ideas, right? Ideally. And sometimes you have a bunch of ideas and you're like, well, which one? I'm kind of equally excited about these, right? So like, what's the best move for me, you know, in terms of what I do next? If you're looking at it with, you have that kind of perspective, not an urgent, I must write this specific script, but just perspective on like, I could do this TV pilot, I could do that TV pilot, or I could do a feature or whatever, you know? One of the first things that a lot of people do if they have reps is talk to their reps, right? Do you guys do that when you're trying to figure out what to write next?
No. I know we should, and I'm trying to get better about it, but
I sometimes do. I only have my managers, but a lot of people do, you know, like I hear about people who are like, they will send a list of like 10 ideas to their reps and be like, which one of these are you most excited about? Cause I'm good to write any of them, and the reps will respond, right? But like, your reps are a resource in this, right? Like, don't if they want you to write something you don't want to write, then, you know, don't do that.
And what do you think about the reverse situation where you really want to write something and you run it by your reps and they're like, I don't know, either this, the market's not, you know, really looking for that right now, or it's already a saturated market. Like, when do you listen to your reps when they tell you not to write something, or do you just tell them to fuck off no matter what?
I don't tell them to fuck off no matter what. if it's that script that we were talking about that like sets fire to your soul and your reps don't get it, write that script anyway, right? When you have to write a thing, you write it. I think that reps are a resource because they will tell you what you said, Hannah, like, is the market saturated with this specific thing? You know, like, I wrote a script without running it by my rep, and she read it and she's like, I can sell this better if you make the like mythology more general and less specifically Lovecraft, because there's a huge saturation of Lovecraft stuff right now. And I took that and I was like, I can do that. Like, and that made her life easier and cost me like basically nothing.
Yeah, that is really helpful. And I think I was totally joking about telling your reps to fuck off because I would never do that. I love you guys. But if you're listening, they're not listening. But I do think it's like always listen to their advice. You don't always have to take it. But like you said, Erica, the reps know so much more. For me, it's like I know 0% and they know everything in terms of what's out there and what's selling and what's, you know, there's too much of or we need more of. So, you know, use them as a resource, as you said, Erica.
If you can get them on your page, then they will feel listened to and they are more likely to push whatever that next script is. But some things they'll say, you know, they should say it's execution dependent, right? Like, you know, if they may hear an idea and be like, I don't quite get it. And you're like, but I'm going to write it. And then once they read it, then they get it. It just depends on your rep and your relationship, you know, and whether you have a rep at all. Because like, let's say you don't, you know, like you can try to do a little research to see if there's anything like this, you know, around. I mean, have you guys ever had this happen? I had a pilot I was so excited to write. And then Weinstein Company announced they were making a pilot about basically the person who I wanted to write about, but as part of a bigger world, like you guys are focusing on the wrong person, but now I still can't write this because she's literally in the article.
Oh, well, at least you didn't write it already. I know that happens a lot too, where somebody will go ahead and put, you know, years into a script only to find out that, oh, there's something just like this that just sold. You were just too late. And how would you know? But, you know, as much as you can do your research and figure out what else is out there. It's really hard to find out. I guess keep track of what's on the blacklist and keep look at tracking boards and see what kinds of specs are selling. Because it's a tough balance, right? I mean, between, oh, well, stuff like this is selling now, so it would be helpful to have something like this. But on the other hand, if there's too much of, let's say the market is saturated with like Lovecraft stuff, okay, that's not ideal for you. You don't want to go that direction. But if it's like, this is really hot right now, like supernatural mythology is really big, then is that helpful? Or is that like, oh, well, there's already enough of it, so maybe I should not go that direction.
Maybe it depends a bit on how excited you are about the idea. But I think it's okay if it's a general genre. I think it's genre versus niche, right? Like Lovecraft is a niche, but supernatural mythology is a genre, right? What you want to spend in terms of how to find out if something similar is in the works, you never can completely know. But it's a good use of your contacts if you have anyone you feel comfortable being like, hey, have you heard of anything like this? You know, in addition to looking through Deadline, you know, trying to figure out some, like if it's based on a specific historical figure, then like, you know, you can comb Deadline and Variety with that name. Even IMDb with that name, and just keep your ears open.
I also have a feeling that if by the time you write a thing, let's say I was writing a movie about zombies and it took me a year to finish the script, by the time that year has happened, when I started writing about zombies, the market wasn't saturated. But by the time I finished the script, maybe the market is saturated. And even if that happens, that's okay. That's when you put the script away. And then you wait for the zombies to go out of fashion, because eventually they'll come back into fashion, because all stories are cyclical. So I'm always a little bit nervous about telling people not to write something based off of what the market is demanding or isn't, because that shit changes all the time.
No one's a fortune teller. We can't tell what's going to be suddenly out of fashion in a year by the time you finish the script, or suddenly super hot, or that there's going to be a global pandemic and all of a sudden the market is that you have this pandemic movie and now there's all these pandemic movies and no one wants to watch them. So,
I mean, I've never done the like talk to my agents or manager, or I've never run ideas by them. I usually just tell them I want to write this and they're like, yeah, go for it. I have a friend, we share the same manager, and she actually did an exercise like that. She had to submit something like 100 ideas.
What?
Yeah, a really huge amount. And then based off of that, the manager and my friend sort of like went through and thought about, okay, well, what's cool? What isn't cool? What should you work on? What shouldn't you work on? And my feeling is, unless the premise is incredibly unusual or rare or anything, then maybe focus less on premise and focus more on character. Like, what kind of character are you going to focus on in this project? Because I think it's a lot easier to have a more singular and unique character than it is necessarily a premise.
100%. If you're writing something as a sample, of course, you probably do want to sell it. But if you're just like, I just really need a new sample, that's my focus, then the important thing is to, like you said, Jess, like if you have a really unique character and a unique point of view then it won't really matter if by the time you finish your sample, there's 10 other scripts out circling around out there like that, that are a zombie movie, for example, or whatever. But yours will stand out because it's a fun read and it has a great main character that your audience can really, really wants to see what happens to them, and a story that they can dig their teeth into.
Yeah, I always felt that as long as the audience feels they have someone to root for, they'll be willing to go on that journey no matter what the market is telling you at the moment.
You can run things by reps. You can do it the way your friend did if that's what works for you. But I think the thing that I always kind of look at is, what do I currently have as my body of work, right? Like, what scripts have I written and that are still like new enough that they get sent out? Like, what's been going out from me? What can go out from me as a sample? And then like, what's maybe missing? You know, like if I, you know, have written, you know, 5 sports movies, but I also want to be considered for a job of like Christian faith movies and I don't have that sample, well, then that's what I should be writing next, right? To really show that I can do what I want to do. If I write horror movies, I'm like, well, you know, like I have horror samples, but I don't have like a weird, quirky comedy. Like, no, I'm not going to do that, right? Because I don't want to create an outlier script. I want to do like the next logical step. So I might do like a horror comedy or something like that. Do you guys kind of think that way sometimes?
I guess it's interesting for me because almost always everything I write or every story I want to write has some sort of genre bent, just because those are the stories that interest me most. So I've never thought like, I'm going to write a romantic comedy now.
Because I've thought about it. I'm like, should I? No. Unless I can think of like a genre one.
I have thought like a romantic comedy with robots. Like, yeah. I'll absolutely write that. But I agree with you. It's, for me, it was sort of, if sci-fi is my genre of choice, then I'm going to write a sci-fi horror. I'm going to write a sci-fi comedy. I'm going to write a sci-fi action to show that I have this range. But there is going to be that connective tissue so that when I give those samples out to people, people know what I can do. They know what I can write. And it's really helpful for television, especially. There's so much television out there now, and specifically, for example, sci-fi. Depending on the type of sci-fi show, if it has more action beats or comedy beats or romance beats or whatever, then I can sort of pick and choose from between the samples of my portfolio. And that gives me my best shot, basically.
It's not just genre that I look at, it's budget. Like, I wrote a really flashy, big budget action genre sample. And then my next one, I wrote a similar, it was female driven, it was action, and there was world building, but it was mid-budget, right? So like the people who I met with who liked the high concept one, who were not going to give me $200 million to make that movie, like, here's one that you could make for much less, right? It's got the same things you loved in the old one, but this is actually of a different size. And I'm really glad I did that, right? Because it got, you know, like it got farther down the line.
No, that's a really good point, Erica. I didn't even think about showing your range, not just in genre, but in budget, showing that you can handle big action set pieces and things like that, as well as, you know, small, more character-driven, really personal, intimate stories. That's really smart. I've kind of done a similar thing where I think my most recent sample is not genre at all, even though most of the stuff I write has some genre bent to it. But for this most recent script I wrote, I just was like, well, I'm probably going to need a new sample. I started writing it when I was in the writer's room on Legacies in my free time, of which there was not much. So it took a while to get it done, but I loved it. I was so invested in it. And it was so different from my day-to-day, you know, supernatural sci-fi fantasy. It was just a coming of age story that had really grounded characters, and it was all about the character relationships. And so I really enjoyed writing it, and it made it go a lot quicker, even though I was like so busy and exhausted on the weekends. I was like, I'm excited to work on this. I'm excited to get back into this world. And then by the time I finished writing it, it was like, okay, great. Now I have a more character-driven, smaller sample. When I say small, I mean, there's not robots and zombies. There's no volcanoes. There's only a few dinosaurs, but no, it's like super grounded. So it also kind of shows, like you said, a range to have both options, because you never know what they're going to ask for when they're considering staffing you or hiring you on something.
You want to have a body of work that feels diverse, but also feels like it's all you. And that can be a difficult balance. But and if you want, you know, like sometimes you need that intermediate script to get you, you know, if you want to be moving into a different direction, like write something that's like that, but also like stuff you've written before. Where do you want your career to go? And then reverse engineer from there to, okay, what script should I write next?
And I mean, that also goes into the type of script, right? So you have a choice. You can write a pilot or you can write a feature. And Well, when do you guys decide when you want to write either one?
What's really funny is like we start this podcast with like, I'm Erica Schreiber, I'm a story feature, blah, blah, blah. We all three of us do both, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, that's fine. I am curious what you guys do. I try to alternate. I'm literally not doing that right now. I'm ending up doing two pilots in a row just because of how things shook out. But I do try to alternate so that my rep is like, she has something to attack on the film side, something to attack on the TV side. Whereas like, if this is going to be a slightly tricky situation, I think for her, because she's just sent out a pilot and the next thing is going to be another pilot. I think there is a level of inundation sometimes. But then on the other hand, some people just write one. So maybe that's a dumb thing to say.
No, I don't think it's dumb at all. I think that makes sense about the inundation, because you want them to sort of miss you a little bit for them to remember you, you know, as opposed to just like coming to them over and over things. That makes sense to me. But I alternate as well. But honestly, the reason I alternate is because if I stay away from one form too long, I forget how to do it.
So, yeah.
They say it's like riding a bike. Once you learn, like, you always be able to get on that bike. That's not true for me. I have to relearn how to write every time I start a new project.
You look at that thing, you're like, do I actually know how to do this? Am I a fraud? Yeah. Have I forgotten how to write a feature?
Do I have skills? The answer is no.
Like, I know what you mean, Jess, about it's like learning to ride a bike all over again, because it's like, I know how to do this. And feature writing and feature structure used to be completely second nature to me. And it still kind of is, but because I've been working in TV for the last 5 years, my brain now thinks in storytelling in terms of, this has to have legs. This pilot is a launch for a whole series. So it's got a setup. It's all set up, but it also is self-contained, yet it's giving way to a whole new series worth of storylines. Whereas a movie is self-contained. Of course, you want to think about having a cliffhanger so you can have a sequel.
Yeah, the franchise, right? Potential.
Right, of course. But you really are, you're not thinking, okay, these are characters that are going to go on a journey for 10, 16, 22 episodes. They're going to go on a journey for 110 minutes or whatever it is. So it is a switch.
Yeah, it's like you have these two different modes in which you look at it. And in terms of how I really decide which one it is like, I generally have a sense when I come up with an idea, like a very clear vision of whether it's a movie or a TV show. Do you guys have that?
I almost always know. As soon as I have the idea, I'm like, that's a TV show, or no, that's a feature. For me, it's about, does it have legs to be many chapters of one story? And if so, it's a television show. But, or is this a very contained thing where there's a clear beginning, middle, end? If I can see the end very clearly, I just generally know if it's going to be a feature or a television show.
And, you know, sometimes you can change it. I feel like I've had at least one meeting in which I have talked about turning a feature into a TV show. I don't think I've ever had anyone suggest it the other way. But like, I think that's easier, right? If you have a movie, it's like, can it be open-ended versus can this pilot be closed doors? I don't know. People do both ways. The other thing I wanted to bring up is, you know, like, one thing is like, are you going to do a new idea, or are you going to do a rewrite? I think we all have scripts in the drawer that we couldn't quite figure out. And like, maybe now's the time.
Yeah, I'm even going through that right now, where because I'm now looking for my next job. And so I need to not only be working on some new material, it's good to have a fresh new sample, but I realized recently, it definitely behooves me to go back to my genre sample that I used to get staffed on Legacies. That was 3 years ago. So I, you know, my writing has improved, my style, my craft. I think it's a good script and a good sample, but in order for me to really stand out, as I'm not trying to be a staff writer, I'm now trying to get a job as a mid-level writer in a room. And so there's a next level of craft and talent that you want to show. And so I feel like I'm going to dust off my old pilot and do a quick polish.
But yeah, no, there's like certain things that I wrote. And then, because I do a lot of like high concept stuff, and I'll be all excited and be like, huh? And someone will read it and be like, this makes no sense. And you're like, damn it. And then you're trying to figure out how to keep it as the thing you love, but also the thing that other people can love too. And sometimes you just don't have that perspective. And so going back to an old script and taking it apart and putting it back together, like, for one, it might take less time than just writing a new script from scratch. It just depends on the project. But I used to temp. My day job was temping, and I would work for like 4 weeks or 6 weeks. And then I would take, you know, a week or two off, depending on how much I could handle financially. But that would dictate like what I would work on next, right? If I had a week off, then I would do a rewrite of something that was mostly there, you know? And if I had like 4 weeks off, then I would try to write something new.
I would say that in general, if you have a bigger portfolio, like you do, Erica, you've written lots and lots of feature scripts and TV scripts, then it's like, do you really need a fresh new script, or can you go back and rewrite something? Whereas I think if you're just starting out and you have only like one or two samples, it's best to keep generating new material. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Even at our level, in generating new material is important. I've heard of people who part ways with their reps because they haven't, you know, like been able to generate new material. And like, it's always that frustrating balance of like, right, you need your rep to get you a job so that you have money, so that you can, you know, take the time to write something new. And they're like, write something new so I can get you a job. And it's like, ah, everything's horrible. But yeah, I just feel like even unless you are like so incredibly busy, you can't do anything, you should be trying to produce one or two new things here. Because like what you were saying, Hannah, we're all getting better all the time. And so while I have a body of samples, there's plenty I don't send out anymore because I don't think they reflect how well I can write now.
It's too bad. I look at some of my old scripts, I'm like, man, that was 2 years of my life. That was every morning from, you know, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. before my assistant job. And I put so much hard work into it, and I'm just going to have to, unless I am ready to do a major rewrite, it's like, okay, got to just leave that one in the drawer probably forever. But it's fine because sometimes it can take, I don't know, what do you guys feel like? Sometimes it can take longer to rewrite an older script than to just write a fresh new one.
Oh, I disagree.
Really?
I'm getting words on the page, on a blank page, is excruciating for me. But as soon as there are words on the page, I have no problem when I rewrite it just throwing out every word that's already there, as long as I have something to build off of, as opposed to pulling from nothing. Oh, I find that so hard.
Everything about writing is hard.
We should quit. What are we doing, you guys? Yeah. It's so hard. Every time I'm like, what is my problem? Why didn't I get a real job? It is a real job.
The last thing I wanted to say on this is kind of related to what you were saying, Hannah, about your scripts in the drawer that you worked. So you got up so early and wrote before your assistant job, and now like those scripts don't reflect your level, and it's not wasted. Do you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't be the writer you are if you hadn't done those scripts. Like, I'm sure we all have scripts we can look back at and just cringe really hard. In terms of what you decide to write next, you totally might get it wrong in some way. Like, maybe you write a whole script about, like, you know, zombie Valentine's Day, and then J.J. Abrams announces his movie about zombie Valentine's Day, right? But it wasn't a waste. It made you a better writer. And even if it's not something that you can use, like, this is the challenge of, like, there's going to be plenty of scripts that you write that aren't going to get you anywhere, but they're not a waste.
I completely agree. And on top of that, on top of the practice that you get out of it and how much you take away from it as a writer, strengthening your skills, I do think that any script can actually be salvaged just by really thinking about, okay, there's something very similar to this premise and concept. Is there anything that I can change that will allow me to still use this as a sample? Because again, what we've been talking about this whole time is, as long as you have a really good story, great characters, great dialogue, you can still use your script as a sample, even if it's maybe not what the market is looking for at the moment. And, you know, be mindful of, just don't let it get you down and be like, oh, well, there's already so many movies out there like this, I guess that was a waste of time. It's like, you can still use it for something. And you can also think about how to differentiate it from what else is out there. Oh, I did want to add something to what you said earlier, Jess. Something that I've been hearing a lot in generals for the last year or two is genre blends are really big right now. So if you tend to always want to write rom-coms, but you're like, I need a genre sample, you can have a rom-com zombie movie.
Totally sounds like you're going to steal my zombie Valentine's Day idea.
I'm not. I'm going to write zombie Christmas. The point I wanted to make about genre blending is like that, if you're like, oh, I can't decide, should I write a rom-com or should I write a horror movie? What do I need? Do both, because people are so excited to read something that's new and different and outlandish. And the market right now is, the TV industry right now is in a great time in terms of originality. Despite the fact that we're overrun with IP, originality is still king, especially when you're trying to stand out as a writer. So if you can put something together that no one's seen before, no one's seen this blend of horror, comedy, monsters, whatever it is, that'll help you stand out.
Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale. You can connect with us there, or you can email us at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. And if you have a minute, we would love it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It'd be a super nice thing to do. But in general, we'd love to hear from you and hear what you would like to hear us talk about. So that's it. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.